Antigua, Armenia, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Chechnya, Hungary, Ireland, Japan, Latvia, Mexico, Nigeria, Philippines, Russia, Slovenia, South Africa, United States.
You there?
I'm here.
Yay!
There we go.
What do you know? The thing's actually working.
Fantastic.
So, anyway, Mick Williams with you and Video Bob. Another action-packed day of stuff here on Cyberline. A couple of things we're going to touch on. Today is the 40th anniversary of the movie Flash Gordon with Queen doing all of the music in it. Hit the theaters on this date 40 years ago, so we'll be doing a little Flash tonight. And also, Tuesday past, on the 2nd of December, marked the 25th anniversary of our show, Mick Williams Cyberline. So I'll be talking about a few things later on in that as well. And Bob is here with me. And Bob, what are some of the things you've got on the table as well?
Yeah, we're going to talk about Amazon Sidewalk. It's a new networking connectivity from Amazon. So that's interesting. And there's also some things you can do if you've got, if you want to be a Google Maps person, there's new features of the Google Maps program.
Just let you know, your microphone, you're a little bit low there.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
Let's see. I'll make sure I'm directly talking into it.
Yeah, much better.
So not bad.
Okay, good. And I've got some other things as well. And we'll talk a little bit tonight about the people coming in a couple weeks from now, be running things. And there were some things that I have been pondering in the digital landscape because a long time ago we had what was called the Fairness Doctrine. And basically was if you have an opposing view being produced on television or radio, you had to give an equal opposite review, or equal time, as they called it. And a lot of us in the industry have been kind of kicking it around thinking, oh, crap, not again, because the people that are coming in just do not like talk radio. And so we're thinking, well, is this going to happen or not? But one of the things that we also have that we didn't have back then is podcasts. And podcasts aren't going down AM and FM radio frequencies. You know, they go over the internet. They're not subject to FCC jurisdiction. They're not subject to the seven dirty words that you can't say on TV or radio. Because if you listen to some of the younger podcasts, a lot of F-bombs being dropped. And so we talk a little bit about that tonight, as to what effect could happen in this new regime. We already have issues with Twitter, with Facebook, squelching our freedoms of information, and also, you know, trying to go through and censor us. Can that be done with a podcast? And I don't think it can be, and I think you're going to see a lot more people picking up podcasts that are on radio that didn't even give it a second thought. And now they're going to probably start doing that.
Right. I'll tell you what. You know what? Google, Facebook, and Twitter are all fighting against censorship. Did you know this?
Funny old thing, isn't it?
I've got to tell you a story because there is a story out there. And
censor for thee, but not for me.
Well, they're fighting against it, but they happen to be fighting against it in Pakistan.
Oh, Pakistan.
So, yes, there's a story out there over at TechCrunch.
Yeah.
And global internet companies, Facebook, Google, and Twitter, and others, have banded together and threatened to leave Pakistan after the South Asian nation granted blanket powers to local regulators to censor digital content. Now, see, they're fighting against that when the local regulators do that, but if they censor digital content, it's okay.
Yeah.
That's the power that they want to maintain, not some government now out there. It's got to be theirs.
And the funny thing about it, too, is that when you see what they've been doing to everybody, especially Twitter and Facebook, the Chinese are probably just smiling, because this is the same thing that the Chinese do over there. And another thing that people probably don't realize is that you have to have a license in China to be on the internet. And not only do you have to have a license to be on the internet, but you have to go to your local police department and fill out the forms and get you to be granted the privilege to be on the internet.
You know, we are living in such a bizarro world right now. It just feels like that whole dystopian Hunger Games that we've got going, because we're looking at an election that has so many questions about it right now that it is unreal. And we're looking at the internet, all the technology that we've got that are out there, and you've got such a big tech playing such a big influence in how this election is gone. And it's pretty scary.
Yeah, and also, I've talked to a lot of people. There was something that came out that they were talking about banning Trump from Twitter after the inauguration. They dusted off the POTUS hashtag because it hasn't been used since Obama. And, of course, that will be turned over to the so-called Persian coming up in charge, and they will have control of the POTUS hashtag.
You know, really, though, Trump is the best thing that ever happened to Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Frankly, I had a Twitter account, but I didn't listen to it, or I didn't look at it frequently. But once once Trump started posting his tweets, I wanted to hear what he was talking about. And it was crazy to see how quickly that when Trump posted a tweet, and I'd be watching the news channels, didn't matter which one, all of a sudden his tweet would pop up there fairly quickly. Anything he said was gold. It was all going out there over the news channels, everywhere. So, okay, Twitter, if you want to ban the president, or, you know, President Trump or Donald Trump, whenever he is no longer in office, then do that. But I think you're going to be reducing your own viewership when you do that.
Let's go back 12 years, back to Obama. And I would say probably the first time, you know, when he, well, that was, I guess, what, 2008, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he got on there. They fixed him up with his, you know, BlackBerry or whatever, took it from him, gave him a secured phone, and he would send out some things here and there. But at that time, Twitter was in some really big turmoil. Wasn't making money. The stock sucked. And they were having problems with the trolls. And also Disney and a couple others were rumored to buy them, but they didn't want to put up with the trolls. And so they were hurting pretty bad. And then second administration of Obama, he tweets out a little more, not a whole lot. And then all of a sudden, here comes Trump. And Trump gets in there, and man, he knows how to use it. And he just takes to task, and he gets the word out. And people are following everything. And, of course, now there's traffic. And with traffic comes the capability to advertise and sell to get product in front of those people, whether they be Trump supporters, not Trump supporters, trolls, whatever. And so that brought them up. And this last quarter, from what I saw, was the best quarter that Twitter has had in a long time. And even at the time Obama was in, that was a dual CEO deal, because you had Jack Dorsey, and I forget the other guy's name, but he departed some time ago. And I think we need him, because he seemed to keep the sanity over there, because Jack is just a loose cannon. I don't know if he's been meditating, you know, smoking the marijuana, what the deal is, but he is he's not been good for Twitter. And personally, they need to get a new CEO.
Right. Well, I will say, like I'm going down that road, it is Trump has really, really brought a ton of people over to Twitter. And if he leaves, my biggest issue right now with Parler is that one of the reasons I'm over on Twitter is because I like to follow Trump's tweets. Now, I don't follow them every day, but yeah. I follow them very frequently. And guess what? They're not over on Parler. The ones I've seen over on Parler are usually rebroadcasts or retweets.
And that's the next question.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he gets banned off of Twitter, that's going to be a gold mine for Parler.
Yeah.
Because there's talk that, okay, so he doesn't get through. He could swing back around and go after the so-called person in charge in 2024.
Right.
And he's going to need a platform to talk to the masses. And you know Parler and MeWe are going to go, hey, come on over here.
The one thing I hope Parler does, though, is I would really like to see them do a good job of putting captchas in, trying to make sure that all these computer bots that are out there, they just look for keywords on something that Trump says. And keyword 1, 2, 3, it's a match. Okay, we put this tweet out. In response. And you know, you get hundreds of tweets back in the first minute that the president tweets something. And, you know, I don't want to read some bot, you know, because it's all canned stuff. And it just really hides the rest of the people that are trying to put something out there that's legitimate.
Yeah, Parler is a little clunky. I'm getting a little more used to it each and every day as I work with it.
Uh-huh.
But I also see the potential that if Trump gets banned from Twitter, I think you're going to see a lot of people leaving Twitter.
Right. Well,
and
I
going
will.
To Parler, because the ones that aren't are over there like, well, I can't talk to Trump. I can't see what Trump's doing. Well, they banned Trump. I think it's going to put a massive hole in their side, because a lot of people are going to jump ship and go over to Parler, definitely.
Right. But I do want to see Parler expand their base. And one of the things they could do right now, or I would like to figure out how, I guess really it's Trump and the press secretary over at the White House. I'd like to see them start tweeting on Parler, I guess parlering.
Yeah. Well, once January 20th comes, I guess we'll see if he gets banned. If he does, I'm sure they'll be twittering all over or parlering all over the place. Be able to do that. Okay, we're coming up on a break. So we're going to do that. We come back and we'll talk a little bit more about the podcast and the fairness doctrine as well. And then Bob's got some items we're going to talk about. And we're also going to play you some Flash down at the bottom of the hour in honor of the 40th anniversary of Flash being in the place. And also us being 25 years old as of this week as well. And hopefully the bumper is going to fly.
Well, it'll fly soon enough, but I'll tell you one thing I've been seeing. I've started seeing a picture that's going around. It says, this claim about Joe Biden winning the election is disputed. Help keep find out more before sharing.
Yeah, so I've seen that too.
It's the counter to what Twitter keeps posting.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You listen to McWilliams Cyberline. Tweety Cyberline USA, which our social czarina, Amy, has been doing very well with taking care of that.
Yes.
So, Bob, what do you got?
So, as we're getting towards the end of this 2020 year, we've got to ask the question, has it been, you know, it's been a pretty bad year overall.
Crap
but,
year.
But has there been anything that's good that's come out of this? And yeah, guess what? There is a story. You can go over and look. There's a website called octoverse.github.com, O-C-T-O-V-E-R-S-E. And they've got a lot of statistics that are going on about what's going on in GitHub. So GitHub is a repository. For those of you, a lot of you developers probably already know this, but GitHub is a repository where a lot of people create and put source code. And you can store it there, you can store it privately, you can store it publicly. And one of the things they store there, a lot of open source communities, a lot of open source projects get stored over there. In 2020, you know, they had a significant rise in the number of open source projects that started over there. And, you know, speculation is that because of all the time that people are spending at home, we're able to spend more time, A, doing work, because we've got more time at home and it's more comfortable. We've been able to get more things done from our house. We don't have to spend all this time on the road trying to drive through and get through all this terrible traffic.
Yeah, that shaves off a lot of time.
It really does. And same thing with the open source projects. Well, people are at home and they've got a lot more idle time on their hands, or times that they don't have to do the commute. So what are you going to do? After work, you might as well start up an open source project. Well, they have increased it. Like I said, significantly. Has it gone up through the roof? Probably not, but there's a lot more projects out there. So if you're, you know, good things do happen out of this. And so I'm hoping to see that the communities out there, they're going to get to be increased, more varied, put more projects out there available for all of us to use, because it only gets things better.
You know, talking about all of that, too, depending on who you listen to in the media, quite frankly, I'm really having a hard time believing what is what. But I hear from a lot of people, they love working from home. Mm-hmm. It's done great for them. They spend more time with the kids. Now, of course, having the kids home and doing schooling is a different story. And they don't want to go back to the office when all of this is done. They want to stay home. But if you go and listen to the media, there's stuff all over this doom and gloom about, oh, we're losing productivity. And people don't want to be working from home. They want to go back to the office. And I said, well, I don't know who the heck you're talking to, because a lot of people I talk to, for those very reasons, I don't have to commute. I don't have to get in a car. I save on gas, save on toll tags if you have them, and all these other things. Now they're saying, you know, the kids, it's horrible because they're losing precious time and learning, and they're not learning anything and all of this stuff. And I don't know.
There's,
I like the fact that they're home and the kids can talk to them about the Constitution and things with the parents.
You know, it's all across the board on that. And you're right. Is talk about this is the year for homeschooling. Oh my.
Yeah.
It's forced, and you know, the schools are saying, no, you stay at home and work from there. And I think it's kind of really interesting and looking at it from a different perspective there too. So I do like the fact that we've got more involvement, you know, parents and their kids, where they're able to see the education more and work with their kids to get the learning that they want. So I think it's great.
I agree. Okay, so we'll come back and we're going to play a little bit of Flash, and then we're going to continue on. Listen to McWilliams Cyberline. Be right back.